It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here live and in color right on your radio dial at 600 AM, 101.1 FM. And you probably already knew that because you should be tuned into one of them. But you can also listen on the internet at WBOB.com. And if you happen to miss a show, not that there are any really good excuses for doing so, you can always find the old shows on our website at VanWeeFinancial.com. And you could just learn all kinds of good things. So to the regulars, welcome back. And if you're new to the show, stick around for the whole hour and we'll promise you that you will learn something. There is, in this whole life, it seems there's something to talk about every Saturday. But lately, those Saturdays have been just a little more packed with information than they usually are.
There's been no lack of things to talk about.
No, it's to the point where some of our clients are emailing us funny things like, gee, it's too bad you won't have anything to discuss
Saturday.
What are
you going to talk about on Saturday? Exactly.
It is just wild and crazy out there.
It is nuts.
And
we had a nice calm period there for a while.
Yeah, we did.
That's gone.
Yeah, remember one year where nothing happened? It seems like forever ago, doesn't it?
It does.
Well, things are happening now, and they're happening thick and fast. Where they're going, that's what we're all going to attempt to find out, and stay tuned. Everybody knows. I saw the look on Angela's face when I showed her my thumbs down a little earlier. She was still on air, and I could see the look on her face like, oh, yeah, I heard about that. And I think that's one of those. You remember where you were when Trump got shot, right? Well, you remember where you were on Thursday and Friday this week, too, for reasons no less distasteful, I would say. But it happens, and it happened. And we're here to try to make some sense of it all, which I will do the old-fashioned way by pawning it off on Adam.
Oh, that's a good plan.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's a father privilege.
What happened this week? It was pretty ugly, but why? Well, if you listen to the show pretty regularly, you'll know that we've been saying for, 4 years, that there's a lot of mixed data points out there. And for every good thing you can point out about the economy, there's also a bad thing. There might be several bad things for every good thing. But clearly, if you look at the data, the economy is cooling at this point. And we got a big confirmation of that on Wednesday when the Fed signaled that they are going to cut rates next meeting. This is what everyone knew was going to happen. This is what everybody wanted.
They did what Powell so often does. Exactly what everybody knew.
Yeah.
Exactly what he said he'd do.
And you would think that was good news. Yay, we finally got our rate cut. We've been complaining about not getting for months.
It was good news.
Yeah. Well,
for a day.
Yeah. And then I guess people started looking at the other side of that coin, which means, oh, the economy's slowing. We could be going into recession, and that's why they're cutting rates. So let's sell off everything and panic.
You've heard us. People have listened to us for years and years. Or even if it's only been a short while that you've been listening, you hear us say all the time, every 6 weeks essentially, that whenever the Fed talks, you're going to get a mixed reaction, an up day and a down day. The only question we ever have is which one's going to come first.
It happens every time, though.
Every time.
It does.
But this was something of an exaggeration.
Yeah, so we got a really big up day on Wednesday, I think, and then Thursday and Friday were both big down days. And it's a pattern that we noticed many, many years ago, and it almost never fails to materialize.
It's hard to be right all the time, isn't it?
It's
not difficult. It's just hard.
Yeah.
Actually, it's really easy to be right.
So what this was, I think, is clearly a case of buy the rumor, sell the news. They bought right up until we got confirmation of what was going to happen, and then, boom, everyone sold. Honestly, fears of recession are, yeah, sure, we could see a recession, but are we imminently headed into one?
But Thursday was not
maybe
a result of the jobs numbers, because the ADP number was benign, and that's all they had.
Yeah, and the JOLTS number was actually higher than expected.
Yeah.
So
it was it was not explainable by traditional methods. Mm-hmm. That's the way I'd look at it.
Yeah, yeah. And then Friday we did get the jobs report, and it was pretty weak.
That was a confirmation of the people who sold on Thursday.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why you saw Friday go down as well. Imminent recession, no. I mean, I don't think we're even tracking to have a negative GDP right now. Could it happen? Absolutely. But we've been saying that for 4 years. So I don't think that anything is different this week than last week. We said last week that the economy was cooling. I still believe that. I still think the Fed is right to lower rates in September. And I think that it doesn't change my prediction of a soft landing versus a recession. And nothing that really happened this week would change that. I think that we've been getting way too rosy job reports for the entire year. You keep seeing revisions to past reports going down.
Again this month?
Yep. And
29,000?
So I think
doesn't
it's overblown.
Sound like a whole big number, but when you're only starting with a top line of 114,
right.
29,000 is a mighty large adjustment.
It is. It was a particularly brutal week for small caps, technology, and energy. The S&P was down 2.1%. The Dow was also down 2.1%. And the NASDAQ, of course, being tech heavy, was down 3.4%. It's now, I believe, in correction territory. Again, this had to happen. It was inevitable. You can't go as long as we did. We pretty much saw 8 months of gains with a one little pullback. And you just know it's going to happen. So not really surprised. Small caps got hit pretty hard. That was a little bit more of a surprise. They were down.
It was disappointing, too, because they just started to ramp up a little bit.
Could be some profit taking there, though,
could
too.
Be.
They were pretty overbought.
Yeah, you're right. We mentioned that a show or two ago.
Yeah.
That was the most overbought an index
right.
had ever been.
Small caps were down 6.8% for the week. Technology was off 5.3%. Energy was off 4.1%. It wasn't all bad news, though. There were some sectors that did quite well. Utilities was up 4.3%. Real estate was up 2.8%. In fact, I got an alert that the Vanguard REIT was at a 52-week mm-hmm. high recently.
I haven't seen that one coming.
I haven't seen that in a long time. And energy was off. Communication services were up 1.2%. So there was some sectors that did well. The real winner of the week, though, was fixed income. Long treasuries rallied over 6% on falling interest rates. The bond market had its first really solid week, and as long as I can remember, it gained 2.3% as money flowed out of equities and into fixed income. So good week in the bond market.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we've been talking about for the last few weeks now. Just starting to become time to rethink the bond portion of your portfolio and start to think in terms of interest rates actually falling, which,
yep.
as you said, hurts the money market, not a whole lot, but some, and it certainly helps bonds. So if you've been, as I have, hiding behind the money market rates with a lot of money, it's time to start rethinking that a little bit. And that's a good topic for discussion for anybody who comes in to see us, among other things. All right, we've got to take a short break. There's lots more of this right after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Vanway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanway.
And I'm Adam Vanway.
And I remind everybody that lines are open, 904-222-8255. Now, there is some, well, first off, we got a trivia question, as usual, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Kenny at 904-636-7888. Trump made a splash this week as he's out trolling for new voters everywhere by saying something that the world considers very controversial, and that is that elders, people on Social Security, should not be taxed on their Social Security benefits. And if you just look through a little bit of history on this, it's not a bad idea because the initial adoption of the plan set forth in no uncertain terms that benefits would never be taxed.
Yeah, it wasn't until the 90s that they became taxed, I think, or late 80s.
Late 80s 90s, or early 90s, 90s somewhere yeah. right in there, yeah, when one of the times they all ran out of money. So my question today is, what percentage of Social Security recipients already pay no tax on their benefits? The percentage of people who are not taxed because there are benefits and all that stuff. You know how IRS does things. So the percentage of benefit receivers that are not taxed already, and the rest of them are the ones that would fall into this. And then we'll have a little discussion on the pros and cons of that, too. But back to the market.
Yep. I was talking about the bonds. So that's, as almost everything is, that's good news and bad news at the same time.
Always.
So if you,
there are winners and losers in the bond market.
Yep. Right now, if you own a bond fund, you probably have watched it languish and do nothing over the last 3 years. If you're not down, it's kind of surprising because most bonds have been down over the last 3 years. Most of that came in 2022, but 2023 and so far 24 up until prior to this week really haven't seen a recovery of 2022. Well, this week we did see that. So you probably did pretty well this week if you're in a bond fund. When rates come down, those tend to increase in price, so you probably were a winner. Now, if you own an individual bond that you bought, you're locked in at your whatever the yield to maturity was when you bought that bond. I wouldn't recommend, you will see the prices go up as rates come down. You can sell them, but in a lot of cases, those yields to maturity were over 5, and you're not going to be able to replace that with a yield over 5 anymore. So I prefer to hold those till maturity. And if you want to buy individual bonds now, you're pretty much just going to have to settle for lower yields. There's really nothing you can do about that except go maybe up on your risk tolerance and buy things that are less highly rated. But getting those 5% yields, that was fun while it lasted. I really don't think you're going to see much more of it.
No, and it's really it was about the first time in forever that it had been like that, where we're buying individuals. It was just the times.
Yeah, it was.
Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Van Wees. You're the best of the best, so don't change. Phil from Orange Park Park crew saying hello and happy Saturday, the calm before the storm, and keep the prayers coming. If you be so kind, I would like to take a shot at the trivia question, but I have a premise. Why?
You have a what?
Premise, P-R-E-M-I-S-E. In other words, I have a little advance notice. I know some people, veterans that I used to hang out with sometimes that are disabled and on Social Security disability. Mm-hmm. And some of them we have to help out when we can, when they need it, because they have their widows and they have no assets, really. But they're surviving. So I'm going to say 1% from what I know firsthand from people that I know. And I could be wrong, but if there's any prizes, we'll just give it to the next person or you keep it, okay?
You're actually low.
A little too low at okay. That 1%.
Okay, I'll let you go and put the radio back on. And
okay,
I'll tell you, it's been 7 months now. My health has been really, really challenging. God mm-hmm. doesn't want me yet. And it's all right with me. And when I do have the energy, I will call in. But I do listen religiously every Saturday.
Well, we appreciate it. I'll tell you, from our standpoint, you sound fabulous.
Yeah,
I've lost 44 pounds since December.
Wow.
Woo. Went through 7 operations.
Wow.
And guess what? My mind and my eyes still work.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and the intellect is still there, and y'all keep me in line, so I appreciate that. Take care, and don't change. You are the best of the best, not only 5-star, but when you have guests and talk about things, your knowledge, your professionalism is outstanding, par excellence, beyond reproach, and don't change, okay?
Good. Well, you
and
stay
old school. There's nothing wrong with new school and old school, but to finish up, Stephen and Adam, old school is good.
It God is. Bless. And you stay ornery and God won't want you.
I never thought about that. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's a little secret to life brought to you on a financial show. How about that?
Thanks for the call, Phil.
Thanks.
Always good to hear from him.
It is. You know, we go through periods of time where we're not sure because he, as he says, his health isn't all that great, by his own admission. So every time we hear from him, it's a pleasure. And when he sounds good like this, it's a real pleasure.
Yeah, so definitely.
Thank you for the call. It made my day, basically.
Well, now we got to get back to the bad news. So
You're not going to make it any better, are you?
No. International stocks. Well, the U.S. wasn't alone in having a bad week. International stocks didn't fare any better. The All World Index was down 2.8%. Israel got hit particularly hard with a potential war with Iran. That's, I'm sure, mm-hmm. what that trade was all about. Their market was down 7.8% on that news. Japan also got pretty just doused, with lost almost 6%. Italy, Mexico, and Spain were all down more than 4% on the week. The lone bright spot was China, which I don't know what that's all about. It gained 0.6%. And that was really the only market I could find that was up this week.
Did you see one anomaly, though, that I thought was real interesting? Because the world had a bad week, and you know the rate cuts are starting. Mm-hmm. England had their first one, mm-hmm. and on and on and on. The Japanese raised their rates again.
I wonder if that's
that was why the second time.
Market was down so much, 6% down. I don't. They're.
But isn't that interesting?
That is really interesting. And no sense.
And this is a rhetorical question. I mean, anybody can take a shot at the answer, but I don't know the answer, which makes it rhetorical. Is this the death of ZIRP, zero interest rate policy, that did not work for them for so long, and now they're raising rates, and it looks like they're trying to become more normal?
Yeah.
What if it works?
So the world economy has become very correlated.
Yes.
I mean, when the U.S. is down, chances are Europe is down, and vice versa. It used to not be like that.
No, it was a non-correlated asset for so long, which made it an excellent addition to the portfolio.
For sure. And it still is. Everyone should own some, but it's just way more correlated than it used to be. But Japan doesn't really fit that mold. They were basically stuck in this stagflation cycle for 30 years. Well, everywhere else was booming. And so now they are showing signs of life, and we're headed into something. So it's, I don't know, maybe they are a good hedge.
I'm just hoping that the world economists take a lesson out of this and take the whole concept of ZIRP or NERP or whatever, zero or negative interest rates, and just throw it out the window and don't go looking for it.
Yeah, I just,
it's so stupid.
It's terrible. There's no real winners in a zero, except home buyers, well, I guess.
We got down to, 0.25% target
rate. Pretty low.
And one of the best arguments I read from one of the smart people, like Stephen Moore probably, said very simply, well, the Fed has now boxed itself into a corner because they don't have any more policy moves to make.
They have nothing. The only way to go is up.
Yeah, they're helpless.
Yeah.
So just think back on that and say, let's be reasonable, people.
Yeah.
Don't go to zero.
I don't think they need to, interest rates need to stay where they are today, although I probably in the minority, but I don't mind them where they are today.
I love them where they are.
But I don't want to see them go a whole lot lower either.
The natural interest rate is not zero or one.
Yeah. You need to be able to make some money on your savings without taking risk.
And you got to incentivize.
Zero, you couldn't.
People, you got to have a little inflation. You got to have a little incentive to save money. That's what keeps the world going around economically, financially. And too often it's just overlooked. And it's like giving heroin to an addict. You give people zero interest rates.
And then they want more zero interest rates.
They want them forever.
Yeah, cheap money. And it's not a good scenario. Commodities. This week, kind of a mixed bag. Index was down 1.5%. Gold and silver both rallied more than 2%, though. I think that was just a fleeing to safety type of move.
Yeah.
The best news of the week was that oil prices dropped 3.6%. So hopefully we see that translate into lower gas prices sometime soon. Earnings season rolling along. I mentioned it's been a good one, and it has. So far, 72% of companies have beaten their earnings estimates, and 61% have beaten on revenue. If those numbers hold, 72% would put this earnings season in the 79th percentile historically. Does not sound very recessionary to me.
It doesn't. I made a list this morning of reasons why we're still confused about the economy. I'm going to hit a few of those right after the break. It's very interesting. It has been, 2 years since we had any decisiveness, I guess, about here's where we are and here's where we're going.
Yeah.
It's just been very, very strange, which is just another reason that it's so much fun to do this show during times like this because there's so much to talk about. We'll take a quick break. Be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And a reminder, lines are open, 904-222-8255. And the trivia question remains, what percentage of Social Security recipients already pay no income tax on their benefits? And we know it's a number between 2 and 100 because it's a percentage. It has a fairly small range, so don't be afraid to stick your neck out and take a shot. A few more little things. The jobs report. ADP private payrolls on Wednesday, 122. A disappointing number, but certainly not going to make people, run for the exits. So on Friday, the BLS comes out with theirs, and the establishment, in other words, the headline number, plus the rate, these are the ones that initially shocked the market. They were expecting about 175, 185, got 114. And for the fourth straight month, the unemployment rate rose, now 4.3%. It's been 4 years, I believe, since it's been that high. So that kind of, without even looking deeper into it, that kind of got a spark going on the what's going on side.
They thought it was going to be level with last month at 4.1, and so that was a surprise.
Exactly. Yep. Now, what they didn't say is that about 400,000 people decided all of a sudden to start looking for jobs again, probably because their unemployment benefits are running out.
Perhaps. That seems odd.
Yeah, well, there's samples and statistics and who knows. But in the household survey, they showed a whopping 67,000 new jobs. That number's pathetic by any measure. But then when you find out that the CES birth death adjustment was positive 246, and you have to take out 29,000 for the revisions for the prior 2 months, what you have is a job market that went nowhere. And that's just the surface number. There's more to it. Wages year over year up 3.6, but hours worked fell again, which means take-home pay is now it's up a little, but it's not up like the number says it's up. Government and health jobs combined to make 72,000, so without the government intervention in these things, you have negative jobs. It is just the beginning. Because then you get to the part-time jobs, which are up 346,000. Now, the real problem, there's several real problems, but the real big problem, manufacturing has been down now 20 of 21 months. And according to ADP, 4,000 manufacturing jobs were lost last month. This is not good.
No, that is not.
The ISM dropped to 46.5. 50 is break even. Above that is expansion. Below that is contraction. It was already in the 48s. It fell again to 46.
Mm-hmm.
Manufacturing is contracting. And certain presidential candidates are out there touting a boom in manufacturing. Do not believe it. It is not happening.
So what they're talking about is the fact that we are actually building a lot of factories right now. And they are, they're in the process of
being
built.
Yeah, the construction jobs, and they are up. And that's another good thing. They're up about 39,000, according to ADP. That's quite acceptable.
A lot of this has to do with COVID and things that happened during COVID when we were seeing shortages of everything that's manufactured overseas and we could not get what we needed. A lot of companies made decisions to build factories in the United States and pay the higher costs of labor and things like that. It's really going to be great when it's all finished, but these things take years and years to get done. So, I'm happy that it's happening.
Yeah, when you're talking about $1 to $2 billion factories, sometimes more than that, they don't get thrown together in a day.
No, definitely not.
All right, let's go back in the way back machine for a while.
Hold on one second, though. I wanted to talk about the unemployment rate a little bit.
Yeah.
At 4.3 is a historically good number.
I was just going there. So, I want to see what you have to say.
So outside of one period in early 2000 and then from about 2017 to 2020 when COVID hit, and then recently, it's really never been that low. I mean, it's almost always above 4.3. So 4.3 is somewhat of a low good rate. So, I mean, honestly, if it went to 5, it's still historically 5 is a pretty good number. So,
and I'll take you where I was going with the same discussion. Back in the way back machine when I was studying economics at MBA school, full employment was designated at 5% unemployment.
Right.
Now, what's the difference? Here again, this is where you got to dig under the headlines. We used to call U6 the unemployment rate. Mm-hmm. We now call U3
right. The
unemployment rate. That means if you're marginally attached to the workforce, in other words, not actively seeking a job this month, you are not counted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if U6 were to be the measure today, the rate would be 7.8%.
That's right. I'm looking at it right now. Yep. But even that,
it's not bad.
It's not the worst. I mean, it's pretty much the long-term average, I would guess, mm-hmm. somewhere right around there.
Yep.
So, the fact that it's weakening is what is concerning people, and that is rightfully so. But the numbers right now are not historically terrible.
All right. Now let's look at what the government calls a job. If you babysit for money for 1 hour in a month, you're accounted as having a job.
Okay.
If you work 4 or 5 jobs, you're accounted as employed. But you're counted, the jobs number is at 4 or 5 or 3. There's a record number of Americans right now working multiple jobs because there has not been one full-time job created net. They're all coming in. All the net new jobs are part-time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have more than one. So what do part-time jobs lack? Benefits?
Usually. Well, some. I mean.
Not all. Yeah, some. Usually there's a 15 or 20-hour week requirement on a lot of them that you can get some of that.
So this is definitely a problem, but also part of the changing economy, too.
Yes.
People are voluntarily working 1099 jobs because they get to make their own schedule, and if they don't have a clear need for benefits, then you might even make a little more money doing it that way.
Yep. So let's talk about government regulation. In 2024, and here we are in the beginning of the 8th month, the Biden administration has added $1.2 trillion in new regulation costs to the economy. Now, that kind of thing is non-productive. That's money that's just spent, blown, gone.
Yeah, and a major pet peeve of mine, too.
Yes, absolutely. And this, how many people could you hire for $1.2
trillion? A lot. Quite a few.
Yeah. That's a lot of zeros when you get up into this 12 trillion range, mm-hmm. 12 zero range, and that number. That's a lot. I looked at all the unemployment rates, and they were up for every category of person. But educationally, there was one category where the unemployment rate dropped. That's bachelor's degree or higher.
Okay.
So we're at a point right now where the people that are getting hurt the worst are the ones that are not highly educated.
Well, this has been the case since COVID. I really believe this. There's two economies right now, and this is part of why it's so hard to figure everything out. There's definitely winners and losers in this economy. Yep. And people who are highly educated and work in tech, white-collar jobs are probably better off than they ever have been in history. And people who work blue-collar jobs, the average working person is probably, I don't want to say the worst they've ever been, but they are not they're not experiencing the same level of wealth that the winners are.
Now, in this economy, the way it's shaping up right now, these are the people you see forming lines at the restaurant door.
The tech workers, yeah. Absolutely.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I would just like to see the manufacturer.
100%, yeah. I want the whole economy to be good again instead of just picking winners and losers. Meanwhile, who's getting their student loans forgiven?
That would be people that have student loans, which would be the educated people.
That's right. And that's why I said a few weeks ago, instead of student loan forgiveness, why don't we look at small business loan forgiveness or pay off some truck loans or I don't know. If you're going to pick winners and losers, why don't we pick the people who are suffering and help them?
And how many times has the Supreme Court told them it's unconstitutional, cut it out? And it was announced this week they want another 30
million. I know. Just so annoying.
How can you claim to be a law-abiding citizen and continually ignore the Supreme Court? They get so mad at the Supreme Court, they want to change the court. How about you change your ideas and attitudes and actions? Huh? How about this one? You want to light your cigar with a $20 bill? We used to use that all the time during good times, blowing money. Put it in your gas tank and burn it up. 46% increase in gas since Trump left. And every time you fill up, let's say you fill up once a week, which I think the average person is sort of in there. So you're adding 46%, and that gets you nothing, absolutely nothing. You burn it the same pace as you would if it were $1.90.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big chunk of your paycheck going out your exhaust pipe.
Yep.
That's not good for the economy.
Who wins there? The government, because they get a little more tax revenue off of the higher price.
And it's not the people in the oil services industry, because so many of them are on salary. So they're not dependent on the price of oil going up. They're not paid on a commission basis. So really, nothing at all is helping. We have a phone call, and the music is playing. Greg, just hang on. I'll pick you up right after the break, if you would. Thanks so much. I got a couple other little ones, but basically that is the main thing that's wrong right now, is that money is not being directed in very good places. Also, if you want to look at the future as predicted by the semiconductor business, semis went into correction territory in 1 week's time.
Yeah, crazy.
We'll be right back. This is the Vanley Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we're going to go right to the phones after I tell you a couple of very quick things. One, Intel just announced this week it's cutting 15,000 jobs, which tells you a little bit about how tech is having some problems right now. And after 145 years, Chevron joined the X companies and is moving from California to Texas.
I saw that, yeah.
And gosh, why am I smiling? Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy Saturday to you all. What an exciting week in the market.
Wasn't it, though?
Yeah, exciting is one word. Maybe not like, the one I would use.
Yeah, that's the old Chinese proverb, pox upon you, may you live in interesting times.
Well, the thing is some of us old timers look at the market and always see opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not as dour as maybe a lot of people. I think a lot of people were expecting a pullback, and then you saw the rotation out of the Mighty Seven into some of the broader market, the mid caps, and they were doing well. Mm-hmm. But I think that a couple of things happened in the last week that, maybe might be a signal. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah, what do you think?
And I think when Amazon posted their numbers and talked about what they were seeing with the consumer, mm-hmm. Amazon has their pulse on the economy. I think that was a confirmed what many have felt, that the consumer is not doing well.
Yeah,
and
that's a good point.
You know, the consumers drive the market, the economy, and
70%.
Seemed like that was the moment it turned.
Yep, 70% consumer driven.
Yeah,
I think that's a great point.
I also think that you talked about the money going into bonds, and we also see precious metals prices inflating. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I looked at that and I said, well, that to me looks like it's a flight to safety, especially when you saw how far the yield went down on the 10-year. I thought that was pretty interesting. On my chart, it broke a couple levels of support.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it may be in a trading range. And if on Monday it breaks even further, and, you know, there's always that possibility. Nobody knows what will happen on Monday. Maybe Sunday night when the futures markets open up. But I think if it does break the current where the yield is at now and breaks significantly, I think then Powell will have to step in and do something about the rates.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree with that. There.
So I unwound my hedges, fortunately, before mm-hmm. the big drop. And so I'm sitting in cash and I'm waiting for opportunity.
All right.
Not sure when it'll come, but I'll be ready.
Stay diligent. It could happen fast.
Yeah, it really could. Things do tend to be on warp speed these days.
Yeah, I am absolutely convinced that we're not out of this yet, but I'm not at all convinced that it's going to be anything serious.
I agree with you there. And I think, I don't know if you saw this headline. I haven't heard you guys yet talk about it, but something came across my feed where they had talked about global liquidity being at $95 trillion. I think that was the number they used, nearing $100 trillion, and that it was the highest it's been since maybe 2022. And that usually is a harbinger of and precedes a higher stock market, because obviously with more liquidity, mm-hmm. people are willing to take on more risk, buy more assets, and that may be another reason why you see precious metals up and people investors going into the bond market. I don't know.
You know,
as they say, anything can happen.
You can make the case too that a lot of the money sitting in money market funds is not going to be paying 5% anymore, and suddenly stocks look more attractive. So there's another potential source of money flowing into the market.
I also think there's something that people ought to remain aware of, and that's the year-to-date performance of the equity markets. The Dow is up 5.4 year-to-date, NASDAQ 11.8. And the S&P is up 12.1%, a long-term average gain, and it's only the 3rd of August.
And that's without dividends, so if you add those in, it's even better.
Yeah, so it's not been a bad year, and a couple of days are not going to make it a bad year either. I'm willing to bite the bullet and do almost nothing except doing my shifting around that I talked about into the bond market. But other than that, I'm not afraid of the equity markets at all. Plus, Adam has almost all of us in our whole client base invested in these downside protected equity funds that I think could be our best friend for the next year or so.
Oh, for sure.
There are ways to handle this thing without Chicken Little intervening and just having the sky fall on everybody. But it's important to be a little bit smart.
Yeah, every investor trader has their edge. Which is different than the next guy. And I'm just looking at at the possibility of opportunities making themselves available. But let me take a shot at your trivia
please
question.
Yeah, do.
I'm gonna use the old Fibonacci, and I'm gonna just say 33 1/3. How's that?
Still a little low.
All right.
Outside the range.
We're setting a support.
Yep, hand grenades, tiddlywinks, all those things were close, and closer. So
okay, sounds
got a couple minutes left. So maybe you've helped somebody out there. Thanks, Greg. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, definitely good points you made too.
Yep. All right. Got a little bit of time and so much to say.
That is something we always say, is that no matter what happens in the market, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
There's winners and there's losers on every trade. And when you see the market fall, some people like Greg are going to say, oh, this looks very attractive now, and I can't wait till I find a point to get back in.
There's another one that I've always liked, too, when you hear the people on the talking head types. Well, the sellers outnumbered the buyers today. No, they didn't.
No.
Everything was sold got bought. Yeah. They were equal. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen.
How's everything?
Hanging in there.
Good
Thank
for
you. You for your wishes, like always. Okay. Very quickly, I know time's running short. We're talking Social Security. I wonder whatever happened. I wonder how many people remember 2 years ago, Bernie Sanders.
Oh, no, we lost him. Okay, well, Mike, call back if you
yeah,
are
just
available.
Yeah, we just lost you completely. So, we'll watch for the phone to ring and hopefully you can get back in. Where would we go from here? I guess so much to say. A confusing thing that happened to me anyway this week, the GOP senators blocked a bill in the Senate that would have extended 100% bonus depreciation to businesses. And there has to be more to that than meets the eye, because that's a definitely conservative way to treat business and very stimulative in its effects on the economy. So if anybody got an explanation for that, I'd appreciate hearing it. And meanwhile, I'll be looking this week to see if I can find anything about it that makes more sense. I think Mike is coming back in right now.
Yeah, he's on. You can pick him up.
All right. Try again.
Do you hear me, gentlemen?
Yes.
Loud and clear.
Okay, I guess we got cut off. Anyhow, that was just my opening statement. But I remember that they proposed this bill, but obviously it didn't get anywhere.
That you got cut off right when you said Bernie Sanders, I think.
Right.
I was just saying that him and DeFazio, a representative from Oregon, proposed a bill just a year and a half ago to raise the payroll tax from $147,000 to $250,000, mm-hmm. and to increase Social Security for Americans $200 a month. But I guess that bill just died in Congress.
Almost anything to do with Social Security dies in Congress.
No one wants to touch it. It's a loser issue for them. And we just talked about this, I think, last week, that they're better off just letting the system mm-hmm. go broke and then have an emergency fix, because everyone who talks about Social Security gets voted out.
Yep, they won't get fired for that. So.
Yeah. You want to do a quick trivia? I read this the other day. If we could, how many Americans worry that Social Security, what percent worry that Social Security will run out in their lifetimes?
I would think it should be over half.
That's a very good guess. According to this CNBC, it was 72% wow. worry about that.
Yeah.
That's the lack of confidence in the public is the very thing that holds us down. Do you want to? I got a few seconds. Do you want to take a shot at how many people are?
I'm going to say 59%.
And you're going to win. It's 60. 40% are taxed. 60, plus or minus one, I do.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
Are not
Thank
taxed.
You, gentlemen.
We appreciate it. And you take care of yourself. Have a good one. You know, the problem with the Social Security thing, it's very complicated, of course. But if 40% of the people are getting taxed, that money goes back into the system, which not everybody knows. All that tax money is credited back to Social Security. So what happens if you stop taxing them is you've got a bigger deficit, a reduced time to fix the system. So as much as I like it, it was written that way, and I believe 100% in the concept. At this point in time, I can't call it a good idea. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week, same time.